Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and coming at you with a number of pieces of content here at the tail end of the week and a busy holiday schedule for everyone on deck here at Steel City Underground. I felt just in lieu of having a little bit of technical difficulties with Davey Hudson of the Believe in Titans podcast that I would come with you on a few other late notes and updates here. Just hot off the heels of that show, we got a little bit more of an injury update with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I had mentioned Joe Hayden actually limited now in practice on Thursday. TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith both full participants, so we'll see how that ends up working out. Isaiah Bugs did not practice after being full on Wednesday, and Zach Banner now also did not practice territory with a knee issue, so we'll see how that ends up happening on the injury front. Got a lot of strange requests and banter and everything else that was going back and forth in Steelers Nation over the last week, and I just kind of wanted to address a few of these items because, number one, it's like once you finally see a team on national television, many are just now witnessing the Arizona Cardinals and saying, oh, why the heck did the Steelers get rid of James Conner? Like, what the heck is going on there? And going back and forth a lot on this, James Conner's on a great team, but he was also a guy that now in Arizona wasn't relied upon to be the primary back. And a lot of people are saying, oh, well, Mike Munchak, you know, when he was still with the Steelers and the offensive line just got bad. And hey, look, number one, when Mike Munchak was still in town, the Steelers didn't have necessarily the greatest rushing attack in the NFL, okay? I'm going to pull it up right here. I have it. I'm just looking for the actual number because my eyes got crisscrossed. But 1,445 yards and 345 attempts. They went away from the run, okay? That was 31st, and they were dead next to last in the NFL, and that's with Mike Munchak. I want to say that some of the problems that happened here with the offensive line, and this is going to carry back to my conversation of James Conner. I'm not losing focus here with the shiny toy, but Mike Munchak, great coach, former head coach. So was Todd Haley. Todd Haley's really the guy that was part of the architect of some of these great Killer Bees offenses. And adding Munchak into the mix midway through here, Munchak inherited a former first-round pick and an all-pro with Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, in that same territory. He helped mold Alejandro Villanueva from being, what, a defensive end with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was a guy that was on the roster, and he got his opportunity because Kelvin Beachum, a former seventh-round pick, got hurt. If you're hearing some of this, undrafted, seventh-round pick, another undrafted guy with Ramon Foster, who was the left guard. You've got some players that were here, and I'm going to say Alejandro Villanueva probably owes most to Mike Munchak and his tutelage, but Marcus Gilbert was a second-round pick. Not everyone has to be a first-round pick of the five starters on the Steelers' offensive line, so a lot of people talking about what the Steelers could have done differently in the draft with their first-round pick. Not take Najee Harris, bring James Conner back. He didn't sign like the largest contract, but the Steelers didn't have any money, any salary cap money. They weren't even going to bring Juju Smith-Schuster back. It just so happened that Juju ended up not signing elsewhere and didn't. There was no market because the cap actually dropped from the previous year due to the whole COVID and pandemic situation. The Steelers, they were spending money that they thought they were going to have, and they didn't. It was like, you know, somebody loses their job and then all of a sudden says, oh, crap, I just bought a bunch of patio furniture I really didn't need and I can't take back or anything like that. Had to go to Ben Roethlisberger to get a pay cut. A lot of people are forgetting these things or they're just ignorant or not aware of it. And it drives me crazy seeing it in various social media posts and everything like that. It's good revisionist history, but everybody and their brother wanted Najee Harris. You had to convince me me of all people that he was going to be the pick there. Well, this is why you don't take a guy in the first round. It's a running back. The Steelers are picking at what, 22? There wasn't anybody else there. Christian Darrisaw, who was with the Vikings, and he actually wasn't there last Thursday when they played them, would have been the only guy they were looking at. Tevin Jenkins, we discussed this, me and Brian E. Roach and the professor Zach Meckler. We didn't think he was necessarily going to be a fit. He still hasn't played with the Bears. He may never play. What ends up happening there? That looks like a blown pick by Chicago, and he fell in at a second round, but the case in point, he was available when the Steelers took Harris instead. I think if the Steelers don't take Najee Harris and they don't take Pat Freiermuth, for example, too, I understand Creed Humphrey was there as well, but I mean, Freiermuth wins you at least the one game against the Cleveland Browns. If you keep James Conner and he's the bell cow, and you don't take Najee Harris and you pick some lineman such as Jenkins that doesn't end up playing, and then Conner, who's had an injury history, hasn't had it. Going to see what ends up happening. He didn't look so swell at the end of this game that was on the other night. Yeah, he's scoring a ton of touchdowns, but the Steelers didn't have the cap space. So then you don't bring back Chris Wormley or you don't bring back Cam Sutton. Guess where the Steelers have had problems this year? No Joe Hayden, no Stephon Tuitt, no Tyson Alualu. Can you imagine the holes that they have there? And then you still don't have a lineman like Jenkins that's playing, and you have even more holes. And then let's say, just in theory, that James Conner, his trajectory, his injury history continues as it had because the Steelers aren't using a committee. And now all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, you got Benny Snell out there. You don't even have Cam Sutton. You're playing James Pierre and maybe Akello Witherspoon or Justin Lane. You don't have Chris Wormley. You don't have Tua. You don't have Alualu. Isaiah Bugs has been hurt. Carlos Davis has been hurt. It'd be just Henry Mondale and Cam Hayward. And we've seen what's happened when TJ Watt's been hurt or Alex Highsmith's been hurt. It would be even worse off than what they are right now, scratching and clawing to a 500 record. And just for, you know, the folks, the naysayers, the people that are already shaking their head at me, to put this into some context, James Conner is averaging 3.7 yards per carry right now. He has fewer attempts than Najee Harris, so he doesn't have as many yards as Najee has right now, but it's the same yards per carry as Najee. Is Conner going to do better than 3.7? Given the Steelers' current state of affairs with their offensive line and the way the offense still hasn't really grasped the run game, maybe he gets the 3.7. Maybe he's worse. I don't think that he's better, but last year he was. So for everyone that says, well, the offensive line got old, the offensive line got bad, exactly the same amount of games, 10 fewer attempts, and James Conner had 721 yards with the Steelers in 2020 versus 661 right now with the Arizona Cardinals, 4.3 yards per carry to 3.7. As I said in my tweet, for those of you who saw it, scoring machine, yeah. Better rushing season in Pittsburgh, though, last year compared to the Cardinals. And don't forget, cousin Brad jumps into here and has to say, don't forget Conner wasn't being used at the goal line. They're using Jalen Samuels. They're using Benny Snell. Benny Snell has 4 touchdowns last year. So easily, if you just use Conner on the goal line and he takes those away, he's a double-digit touchdown guy. Still a solid receiver when he was with the Steelers. Najee is this year too. So I really hate like the comparisons and the arguments, one pitting one versus the other. Could you use that pick somewhere else? A Liam Eichenberg or whoever else may have been around as a tackle. And then you're getting into a category of people who say things like certain players are a reach or a bust or whatever. I have nothing against Terrell Edmonds this year. I never had anything against Terrell Edmonds. I think the Steelers shut down a lot of the tight end play, and some of the bigger plays that they hadn't been giving up, at least in the past game, is because you got Edmonds and Fitzpatrick on the same page. Hopefully the secondary is going to look a little bit better. It's always better if they have Joe Hayden. They still haven't won a game when Joe Hayden is sat out, to my knowledge. I think it's like 0-8 or 0-9. Which is just tremendous when you think about it. So looking ahead, people are always speculating about what you're going to use in the draft, how you're going to rebuild this team. The team's going to go through a rebuild. Look, I'm not a fan of saying rebuild. I like rebound. I like reload a lot better. I think that's exactly where the Steelers are looking ahead. I'm looking at yeah, offensive line picks in the draft. You're going to have money in free agency. They're going to bring some players back. There's going to be some guys that are going to be let go. They're going to continue to mold this thing into trying to be a winning franchise. I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Roethlisberger returns. His numbers aren't really that bad this season. You take a look at it, and most of the bad we're seeing, he got some guys in his face that caused him to turn the ball over. A couple of bad games, but still 19 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. He's over 3,000 yards and completing 65.3% of his passes. That's really good football still from Ben. And as we could see, he still gets the ball downfield, but holy crap, he's been sacked 30 times this season. You want to know the last time that Ben Roethlisberger has taken that many sacks in a season? You got to go all the way back to 2014, and that was his season where he had almost 5,000 yards and attempted 608 passes. He was sacked 33 times then, 42 times in 2012, and then, of course, 30 times in 2012, 42 times in 2013, but tremendously way more when Bruce Arians was around. I've mentioned this number before, 215 sacks in 5 seasons of Bruce Arians as his offensive coordinator. Ben just caught up to that. If you go from Todd Haley coming in after Bruce Arians was not retained, or he goes into retirement, however you want to say it, Ben just caught up to those 215 sacks in October of this season. That's quite incredible. But you don't get some guys in his face and give him some time. I think he can get some more things done. I don't care to talk about Chase Claypool. I think that's another overreaction. I think talking Kenny Pickett or any other picks, everyone's like, the Steelers haven't used a first-round pick on a quarterback since Shep was a pup. Well, they used one on Terry Bradshaw. He was drafted first overall in 1970, but they also used one on Mark Malone in the first round of the 1980 draft. And then unless you're picking at the very top of the draft, from that whole span all the way to Big Ben and even beyond, the Steelers aren't in that position to take anybody else. You take a look at some of the quarterbacks taken in the first round, and I did. Rich Camel, Art Schlichter, Jim McMahon, John Elway. First overall pick, John Elway, by the way, for Baltimore Colts, who he didn't want to play for. People forget some of these things, too. Todd Blackledge, Jim Kelly, Tony Eason. None of those guys were available or on the board after Mark Malone was taken. You get to the Dan Marino draft, and they have Terry Bradshaw. They think Terry Bradshaw is probably going to be okay, some surgery. He pops that elbow in 84, or does that happen at the end of 83? They have Cliff Stout. They still have the first round capital used with Mark Malone. Why are you going to jump at Dan Marino, who had question marks coming out of college? It was, Dan was kind of free and loose type of guy. I get he was the hometown Pitt hero, but a lot of people look at that and they say, guess how much more Dan Marino would have won if he was with the Steelers then? Maybe the Steelers would have won more games, but I don't know. Dan Marino didn't get some rings with some very talented Miami Dolphins team and a Hall of Fame head coach with Don Shula. Let's look at the rest of this list here. But famously, Gabe Rivera taken over Ken O'Brien and Dan Marino in that draft. Gabe Rivera, of course, drunk driving accident, ends up out of the league after having 2 sacks and starting to get warmed up, and maybe the heir apparent to rebuild that defense as Chuck Knoll had done with Mean Joe Green years earlier. That was the thinking. Unfortunately, that didn't work. Sometimes it doesn't. Not to say that Dan Marino, maybe it would have been better, maybe it wouldn't have. Now, I understand I'm only concentrating on first-round guys here. There are some second-round picks, and some of them, even like a Brett Favre, got drafted by Atlanta and traded to Green Bay. So Atlanta makes the faux pas there, and everyone else passed to allow him to go into round 2. I'm focused more or less on the first-round pick and the fixation of having to get a guy in the first round. Jim Everett, Chuck Long, Vinny Testaverde, number 1 overall to Tampa Bay. We know how that turned out. Kelly Stouffer, back with the Cardinals. Chris Miller and Jim Harbaugh, the Steelers passed on both of those guys. They did it right this time, though, folks. Rod Woodson taken there. Number 1 overalls, 89 and 90 with Troy Aikman and Jeff George. And I even passed over, I want to say, the 88 draft. The top quarterback taken was Tom Tupa. If you remember, he ends up being a punter. He wasn't taken in the first round, nor was anyone else. So there's a few years here where you skip and you don't end up with guys taken, I think, 84 and 85 drafts both. Marino was there, I think, in 83, unless I had the typo here. Maybe that's my bad. But regardless, you get down to these top picks here, Troy Aikman, Jeff George. You have Andre Ware. Steelers take Huey Richardson, pass on Dan McGuire and Todd Marinovich. None of that ends up working out for anyone. David Klingler goes 6th overall in 92 to the Bengals. Steelers take Leon Searcy over another first rounder in Tommy Maddox, who goes to the Broncos, 25th overall. Leon Searcy, also a pretty solid player. Drew Bledsoe was the number one overall pick by the Patriots in 93, and Rick Meyer was the second overall pick with the Seahawks. Meyer didn't necessarily turn out there. Heath Shuler, Trent Dilfer, Steve McNair, these guys went 3-6-3. Kerry Collins, fifth overall in 95 to the Panthers. Steelers take Chad Scott in 1997 over the San Francisco 49ers with the only first-round pick with Jim Druckenmiller, 26th overall. That one wasn't great. Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf headlined the class 1 and 2 in 98. Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, Akili Smith, Dante Culpepper, and Cade McNown. None of these players on the board for the Steelers. Chad Pennington was. They went with Plaxico Burress to try and help out Cordell Stewart there at that time. Think about that, too. Cordell had some weapons. He had Hines Ward. He had Plax. Michael Vick, David Carr, Joey Harrington, none of them available. Kendall Simmons goes in 2002 to the Steelers instead of Patrick Ramsey, who was the final pick by the Washington Redskins at that time. Carson Palmer, top overall pick by the Bengals, 2003, with Byron Leftwich, seventh overall, and Kyle Bowler. The Steelers pass on Rex Grossman, who is the fourth quarterback taken in 03. Instead, they take a guy by the name of Troy Polamalu. So, and then you have the infamous 04 draft with Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger. And since then, the Steelers really haven't had to take a guy, but you look at some of the names. J.P. Lossman was taken in that same class of 04. Everyone forgets that he was even there at pick 22 to the Buffalo Bills. Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Vince Young, Matt Leinart, Jay Cutler, Jamarcus Russell, Brady Quinn, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, Matt Stafford, Mark Sanchez, Josh Freeman, Sam Bradford, Tim Tebow, Cam Newton, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, Andrew Luck, RG3, Ryan Tannehill, Brandon Whedon, EJ Manuel, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch, Mitch Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. I cut off there the rest of these young guys from 2018, still writing their story there, but as you can see, there's only like a couple of names there that were really worth the value of a top or a first-round pick. Don't freak out about who's going to be the next guy necessarily right away. Let's enjoy. Let's see what Ben Roethlisberger does these next four games. Might be for some of you who are coming in for the last two games at Heinz Field with the Titans this upcoming Sunday. And then right after the new year, Monday Night Football against the Cleveland Browns. Enjoy. Give them the proper send-off. Folks, my name's Joe Kuzma. I hope you enjoyed my mini rant here. Let's go Steelers. Here we go this Sunday against the Titans. Look forward to hearing from all of you. And if I don't, have a happy holidays, a Merry Christmas. Hopefully we get a couple of shows in here as everyone's schedules are busy. Until then, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And as always, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.